I'm Alec Lace. Welcome to First Class Fatherhood. Welcome, everybody, to episode 610 of the podcast. I am happy, as always, to be here with you. Thank you for stopping by. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, please get over there and bang that subscribe button. You do not want to miss all the action coming your way right here on First Class Fatherhood. All right, dads, we are going to keep it in the Fox News family today as Steve Ducey joins me on the podcast. Steve has been with the Fox News Channel since it launched over 25 years ago, back in 1996. He is one of the longest-running cable news hosts throughout his career. Steve has received 11 local Emmy Awards, and he was the Associated Press Feature Reporter of the Year. He is the co-host of Fox and Friends, which is the most-watched cable morning program. Steve is also a New York Times best-selling author who has written 4 books, including Tales from the Dad's Side and 2 cookbooks with his wife, Kathy. His accolades are really too many to mention right here. He is, of course, a first-class father all the way. I know you guys have seen his son, Peter Ducey, crushing it at the White House as he is the Fox News correspondent. I'm honored to have him on the podcast today. Steve Ducey will be here with me in just a few minutes, so please stick around for the interview. And today's interview with Steve Ducey was recorded on video and is available for you guys to watch on my YouTube channel. So if you'd like to watch the conversation between the Fox and Friends co-host and myself, please subscribe to First Class Fatherhood on YouTube. Link is in the description of today's podcast episode. All right, and I did say that we're keeping it in the Fox and Friends family here because yesterday on the podcast, I had Pete Hegseth along with his co-author David Goodwin that stopped by. If you guys want to listen to some of the other Fox News dads that have joined me here on the podcast, go back and check out my interviews with Sean Hannity, Brian Kilmeade, Jesse Waters, and so many other dads from the Fox News Channel that have joined me here. You can find them all available in the archives. Tomorrow on the podcast, UFC welterweight champion Kamaru Usman will be joining me here. He is also the pound-for-pound best fighter in the UFC. That's going to be a lot of fun. Father's Day, there's still a time for you guys to get my new book in time for a Father's Day gift. If you get over to Amazon right now and order First Class Fatherhood Advice and Wisdom from High Profile Dads, you can still get it in time to give dad on Sunday. The link is in the description of today's podcast episode. All right, and be sure you're following me on Instagram at Alec_Lace for all the upcoming guest announcements. And as always, guys, please help me spread the word about this podcast to every father in your neighborhood or in your contact list and let them know about the show that's here celebrating fatherhood and family life. Fatherhood rocks, family values rule, and every day is Father's Day right here with me. And I'm going to be right back with Steve Ducey. I'm Alec Lace, and you're listening to First Class Fatherhood. Joining me now, First Class Father, Steve Ducey. Welcome to First Class Fatherhood.
Hello, Alec. It's great to be here. Thank you very much. And happy Father's Day.
Yeah, so cool to have you here. It's a pleasure for me. Let's start like this. How many kids do you have? How old are they?
I've got 3 kids, Peter, Mary, and Sally. Peter, the famous TV news guy at the White House. Mary is in Washington, D.C. She's a lawyer in government. And my daughter, Sally, is married, lives in Dallas, works in marketing, and they all have jobs, which when you're a dad, you know, when the kids are little, you worry about, will they ever get on the baseball team? Will they get on the lacrosse team? Will they play sports in high school? Will they get a scholarship? Will they get into a college? And after they get into a college, I know my wife and I went to a meeting at our son Peter's college. And it was the first time the parents all got together. And the guy leading the meeting said, okay, welcome, congratulations. You've got your kids in college. Now he was literally a freshman for 1 week. And then the guy goes, all right, now it's time to start thinking about getting them a job in 4 years. And it's like, oh. And at that point, Peter was going to be a lawyer or go to business school. He took a different path.
Yeah, well, listen, right now I'm still on the stage of small children, small problems. I didn't get to that big children, big problems just yet. So I'm going to
it's coming.
Where I am.
It's coming.
There's no doubt about that. So if you could, Steve, please just take a second to hit my listeners with a little bit about your background and what you do.
My name's Steve Ducey, and I work at the Fox News Channel. I have been doing the morning show for over 25 years. And number one cable morning news show runs between 6 and 9 a.m. Eastern time. If you're on the West Coast, you have never seen me because we start at 3 and we're done at 6 a.m. And you know what? If you're smart, you're in bed, you're resting. And so I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to introduce myself to your West Coast audience.
Yeah, so cool on all your success over the years here. You've been a staple at Fox for so long over there. And so then take me back then about 30-something years ago when you first became a dad. About how old were you when you first became a father, and how did that experience kind of change your perspective on life?
You know, I come from, Alex, a family with five kids, and I was always around little kids. So it's like I remember when my sisters were born, my mom had her hands full with four other kids. And she'd just hand the baby off to me, and I'd take care of the baby. You know, I knew how to give the baby a bottle and how to change a diaper and do those basic things. So I figured when our son came along 31 years ago, how hard could it be? Well, you know what? My mom wasn't there, and it was hard. And so my wife's from California. We were living in Washington, D.C., and it's like, you know what? We're on our own. We've got to figure this out ourselves. And ultimately, that's what parents do. And that's what fathers do. It's like, what kind of a dad do you want to be? Do you want to be a dad like somebody you knew, your father, an uncle, some guy on TV? Everybody, I think, has a vision of what the dad does until they actually start doing it. And then they realize, you know, it's not a cartoon. This is a serious job that requires some thinking about what you're doing, because the little kid who's right over there watching the dad or watching the mom, they're paying attention. They spend their entire childhood paying attention. And by the grace of God, if you do a good job of being a good role model for them, they'll remember the good stuff. They probably will also remember the extraordinarily crazy stuff you might do by accident. But that's just the way kids are. They get that brain that's like a little sponge, and they remember the darndest things.
Yeah. And you know what, too, Steve? I think it's so important to hear the messages like this from other dads. I think, like Mike Tyson said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. And that's kind of the way, you know, fatherhood is for somebody. It comes right at you, you know, despite what you heard. But it's always comforting to hear the tales from other dads. And I know back in 08, you wrote tales from the dad's side. And you even point out that at the time, too, that the bookshelves are full of mom books and mom stories. And I found that when I started the podcast, the same thing 4 years ago. It was flooded with mom podcasts, very little on the dad side of it. So I think it's important. What would you say was like the biggest takeaway from Tales from the Dad's Side that fathers could get from that book?
Well, Alex, I think part of it is just the fact that you've got to be there if you can. You know, when I was growing up, my dad was not home much because he was a traveling salesman. And it's like, you know, I wanted my dad around as much as possible, as every kid does. But for a variety of reasons, a lot of kids' dads are not there, or their moms are not there. And so when our son came along, and our daughters as well, we tried to be around them as much as we possibly could. For the past 25 years I've been doing a morning show, I've missed every breakfast, but I'm home early. I've been able to be all of their coaches, and I was their driver's and ed instructor, and I helped them with their art projects. I did the normal dad stuff. And, you know, a lot of the memories that we have that they remind us of when we all get together and reminisce about the old days are things like, do you remember that time? You remember, Dad, when I had the assignment to make a simple raft for some world cultures class, and you bought 8,000 toothpicks and built a perfect replica of the Pinta Nina in Santa Maria? And it's like, yeah, I do remember that. It was good. Which is gratifying for me, because I could, even though I was like 35, I could still do grade A work at the fourth grade level. So
yeah. Yeah, I struggle with some of that myself. My wife is more the artistic one when it comes to them school projects. I'm kind of left in the dark with a lot of that, but I'm glad one of us can do it. And you mentioned there, too, not being there for breakfast, but cooking is something. I cook dinner for my family every night, Steve, and it's the best part of our day. We all sit down and we eat dinner together as a family. We pray together, and there's no electronics at the table. It really is the highlight of the day. And I'll tell you, it's hard to make. I have four kids. It's hard to make everyone happy at the dinner table when I'm cooking cooking a certain meal. Everyone has got a particular vegetable they don't want, and everyone's got a little different interest. So I know you do the cooking show yourself, and you had the Happy in a Hurry cookbook. That was a success. So what's your signature dish, and how do you keep everybody happy at the dinner table?
Well, it all depends on what day it is. We're just wrapping up our third cookbook. You mentioned Happy in a Hurry, and then there was the Happy Cookbook. And now we've got a new one coming out in September called Simply Happy. Just simple recipes. But it goes to your larger point, which was, you know, when you're in the kitchen and you've got, I love the fact that you've got some ground rules. And it's like, put that phone away. You're not going to be looking at the phone when you're talking to your father or your siblings. You got, as long as everybody's paying attention, then everybody's discussing the day that has just gone by. You know, when all of the kids were in this house, Kathy would make the dinner, and then the kids would come down and we'd all eat dinner as a family. And then when dinner was over, I would do the dishes and we would stay in the kitchen for another hour. And we would just talk about all the crazy stuff that happened at school or in the neighborhood or things we've got planned. And those memories are so vivid because, you know, the kids at that age, they had so much excitement and they loved talking. And they kind of talked in so boldly about it. And you're not going to believe this. And we still talk about that stuff. In fact, we were all together as a family over the weekend in Dallas for my son-in-law's 30th birthday party. And I heard like five stories I'd never heard before. I thought I'd heard all of them about kids they had gone to high school with or grade school with. So those happy times around the table are so important. And, you know, not everybody's a great cook, but sometimes the happiness is not the meal. It's the meal. It's being there. It's having the conversation. It's just being around your mom and dad and your family. And that's, you can't fake that. And that's something that the kids remember forever.
Yeah, very well said, Steve. And I'll tell you what, you know, sometimes we'll be so engaged in a conversation at the dinner table. My 7-year-old daughter, she'll find a way to slip away from the table without anybody knowing. So on Brussels sprout night, we really got to keep an eye on her, you know. So she has a way of magically disappearing when we're in the heat of the conversation.
You need to add, I got a recipe for you. I'll fax it to you, text it to you. I'll send it to you. You need to add bacon to the Brussels sprouts, and then the kids will eat them.
Yeah, I got to do something, that's for sure. But I really do agree, though, Steve. I think if we can get back to the dinner tables around this country, I think so many of the issues we're seeing, I stress a lot of time about the fatherless crisis that we have going on in our country with so many dads that aren't in the home with their kids. And one portion of that is, I think, the court system in this country when it comes to divorce. I think our divorce rate is so sky high. We've had so many broken marriages, and that becomes a big issue financially. It's just an embarrassment for so many people that have to go through all these, intimidating things. And I think it pushes a lot of good dads out of the picture as far as family goes. And I know you wrote the book, The Mr. and Mrs. Happy Handbook, Everything I Know About Love and Marriage. And I don't get into the marriage aspect of it on here. I'm married 17 years to the best woman in the world. Thanks. And I don't get into it because I know it's a difficult thing and it's not the same for everybody. So what was the good takeaway? How can we keep, especially these young couples that are just facing their first kind of challenges in marriage, how do we get them to stick with it and stick it out?
Great question. The number one thing couples argue about is money. Because my friend Dave Ramsey told me years ago that generally couples or partners, they will have, one of them will be like a saver and the other person will be a spender. And so there's just naturally a dynamic where there's money coming in and one person wants to save it and the other person wants to spend it. Ultimately, like everything else, you just have to talk it through. In the beginning, you've got to say, hey, when we, move in together, start a family, whatever, here's how we're going to do it. One of my kids had not talked about, you know what? I never talked with my husband about how we were going to handle the bills. And I said, you got to do that. And so they did. And it it's like everything else. You just have to talk about it. And that's the, you know, the one theme about all of our books are, is the fact that they all involve happy, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Happy, the Happy Cookbook and stuff like that. Ultimately, you want to be happy, but it's, you know, there is no guidebook for how to do that. You just have to figure what makes you happy and what makes your family happy. And it sounds like at your house, they're happy when you're all together. And that is a blessing because someday they're going to grow up and they're going to go do stuff. But the good thing is they always come back. You know why? Because they need stuff.
Yeah, well, I hope that's the case over here, Steve. We're enjoying them while we got them now. They haven't hit all them big stages just yet. So I know you've been there. And one thing I want to ask is, as I talk about the fatherless crisis, one of the important aspects of that is the discipline portion of it that the dad does bring to it. So what type of disciplinarian were you as a dad with the kids growing up? And is that different than the discipline style you grew up with?
I grew up in the 60s and the 70s, and it was different. Anybody who was there knows it was different. My wife, when the kids came along, read some parenting books that were available. Oh, these would have been from the 80s. So about one generation later in what the thinking was. And she and I just followed her lead. But what she would do with the kids when they would act out or do something inappropriate, she'd just say, you know what? That's a timeout. You are in the timeout room, and the timeout room is their bedroom upstairs. And that's a 10-minute timeout, which would drive the kids crazy because the other two kids would be downstairs having a lot of fun. And so she would program the microwave. Okay, the timer. Thankfully, she didn't hit the microwave for 20 minutes, but she just pushed the timer, set 20 minutes. And then as soon as the beep, beep, beep went off, the kid would run down the stairs and it'd be like, okay, what did I miss? So the fear of missing out was really what kept them, for the most part, on the straight and narrow. Nobody did anything too crazy that we know of. And the statute of limitations has probably run out anyway. But they were good kids. But the other thing is we were always around them. And so it's not like they could really pull much over on us.
Yeah, really great stuff, Steve. And obviously your son Peter has been crushing it with his position as a White House correspondent, following in your footsteps. He's at Fox with you. You got a father-son duo going on there. I had the pleasure of being at the White House. I had press credentials about a dozen times while Trump was in office. I got a chance to really see what it was like in there and what the White House correspondents really go through. So what has it been like for you as a dad to watch your son, become a White House correspondent, do such a great job that he's doing?
Right. You know, Alec, what's crazy is even though I've known him for 33 years, Kathy and I will be here in the house and we'll be watching Bret Baier's special report show at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And sometimes we're watching and there he pops up from the North Lawn of the White House and he's talking and then he's talking to the president, and he's talking to the other people. And then at the end of it, I'll think that was a good story. Wait a minute. That's our kid. Can you believe that's our kid? And, he's got a great job and he does well because he's got a natural curiosity and he asks interesting questions that nobody else asks. So, you know, he's doing well and we couldn't be prouder. And ultimately when it comes to Father's Day, I think, you know, everybody's proud of their kids when they do stuff. When you realize, you know what? I think my kids were paying attention when they were growing up because I can see something in them that they got from me, or they got from my wife, or they got from somebody in our family. And that means a lot because it's all about legacy.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. And he does, he brings a lot of class to the job. I can imagine how proud you guys must be of him. And I know he's recently married himself. That's one of these things that, you know, one of those things I'm looking at long down the line here with my kids. My oldest is only 16 right now, but I'm preparing myself mentally for all this stuff to come. So what kind of advice did you give to all your kids when they became old enough to start hitting that dating scene?
Well, you know, when it came to marriage, we all three of the kids got married in 1 year during the pandemic. And so, you know, they'd all, the girls had always dreamed of big weddings with 100 people, 200 people, something like that. Sally got married. There were 10 people, just the family. Mary got married. There were 25. It was a blowout. And it was just our family and his family. And when Peter got married, it was just our family. I think that he had 18. So that's what it came down to. You know, our houses are our kids' launch pads, where we teach them to be good people. But it all comes back to the family. And that's, you know, they could have delayed the weddings past the pandemic and had a lot of people. But ultimately, they all said, we would rather get married surrounded just by our family, because that just makes it all the more special.
Yeah, I love that, Steve. My wife and I, we got married out in Las Vegas. It was just me and her, just together. You know, my parents both passed away before I met my wife, before we had kids, you know, and her parents were divorced and estranged. So it was just really just me and her. It's been that way for our entire marriage. And so we lean on each other a lot more because of that. But I know sometimes, you know, I do speak a lot about, you know, parenting without parents. I know you recently, not too long ago, lost your father. What type of a grandfather was he to your kids, and what kind of like parenting lessons did you kind of take away, or parenting philosophy did you get from him?
Well, you know, as I mentioned earlier, kids always look up to somebody, an adult in their life. And, you know, I looked up to my mom and my dad, but my dad was gone a lot because he was a traveling salesman. He eventually quit that job and became kind of a hands-on contractor, carpenter guy. And then they started running a hotel. So he was a fix-it guy, and whatever would break in one of the guest rooms, he'd go fix. And he'd just say, come on, Steve, let's go figure this out. And he showed me how to fix, whether it's a leaky faucet or a running toilet or a malfunctioning air conditioner. He taught me how to do all that. And, you know, he was always really good about explaining exactly how to do it and how to figure a way. And he gave me that. I have actually been able to extend that curiosity in mechanics to my youngest, Sally, of all people. Because Sally, after Peter and Mary had gone to college and were out starting their life, Sally was still at home. And so she'd go to Home Depot with me, and then she would help me with whatever the project was. You know, hey, come on, let's get the sawhorses out and let's cut this thing up. And I had a lot of the same kind of feelings toward my dad, that I could recognize that Sally was, if she's paying attention, she's realizing this is a parallel to the way it was when I was growing up. And that's, you know, that's what you want. Full circle.
Yeah. Yeah. Some essential skill sets there for sure. And what would you consider to be, Steve, the top values that you would help to instill in all three of your kids growing up?
You got to be honest. You got to work hard, but you've got to be able to laugh, because if you don't wind up laughing, you're going to wind up crying. Always look for the goodness in somebody. But at the end of the day, just take a minute, look at what you did, and feel good about it, because you don't get a do-over on that day. But you get to do it again tomorrow. So you might as well learn from anything that went haywire.
Yeah, right on with that. You mentioned Father's Day at the top there. What does the perfect Father's Day look like for you? How do you spend it?
Alec, this is exactly what's going to happen. My son and my daughter are going to be here. In fact, I just made a reservation for Father's Day brunch. And then as soon as it is over, I'm going to act surprised when I walk back into the kitchen and they present me with this Dairy Queen cake that looks like a man's shirt and necktie. I've been getting that for 20 some years, and it's always the best, because I like practical stuff, but I really like Dairy Queen. So that's what a perfect Father's Day looks like. Kids and some ice cream.
I like your style. All right. Last thing I want to hit you with here, Steve. I love to ask all the dads that I get on the podcast, what type of advice do you have for that new dad or for that about to be father who's out there listening?
Pay as much attention as you can to what the child is saying, because sometimes the dad is looking at his phone or he's distracted by work. And this really applies to any parent, any adult. Sometimes the kid is asking for something and it's like, I spaced that out. And then the kid gets frustrated and you don't answer the question. And then after a while, the kid stops asking. And that's when you get into trouble, because you're lucky around your dinner table, people still talk. But it's when the kids are frustrated with the parents or for whatever reason, and then you've got to dig it out of them. It's like, hey, what'd you do today? Nothing. How was school? Fine. You want them to feel like, hey, if I've got a concern, you're going to be able to help me. And even if you can't help, at least try to figure out some sort of an answer where it's like, I understand why you're concerned with that. Let's work on this together. So there is, I guess ultimately what I'm saying is, it seems like they're asking a little something so little, not little of that.
Yeah. Very well said. I love the message. This has been an honor for me. I got to say, Steve Ducey, you're a first class father all the way. And thank you so much for giving me a few minutes of your time here on First Class Fatherhood.
Thank you very much. And happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to you as well. Back to wrap things up here on First Class Fatherhood. I got to give a special thank you once again to Steve Ducey for giving me a few minutes of his time here. It was such an honor. Please hit me up on Twitter, guys, or drop me a DM on Instagram. Let me know what you thought about today's episode. I always love to read your feedback. If time is running out here, you got to order today to make sure you get it in time for Father's Day. First Class Fatherhood Advice and Wisdom from High Profile Dads. My new book, get it on Amazon. You'll get it in time to give dad on Sunday for Father's Day. Tomorrow, UFC welterweight champion Kamaru Usman joins me right here on the podcast. That's all I got for you guys today. I'm Alec Lace. Thank you for listening to First Class Fatherhood. And please remember, guys, we are not babysitters. We are fathers. And we're not just fathers. We are first class fathers.